Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of the Bloody Legends with Jai, that Aussie metal guy, and Jim Taylor. Make sure you're a bloody legend and hit that like and subscribe so you can keep up to date with all the great content from these bloody legends. And g'day, how are you all going? It's Jai, that Aussie metal guy here, and Jim Taylor on behalf of the Bloody Legends podcast. The Bloody Legends we have on today, tonight, are a couple of the guys from Storm the Crown, Chris and Shane. Cheers for joining us, guys.
Not a problem. Happy to be here.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you for having us.
Very cool.
Yeah, absolute pleasure.
I was listening to you.
You go, Jim.
I was listening to you guys playing Assassin's Creed of Valhalla, so it was the perfect soundtrack while I was invading Essex.
definitely some hardcore Viking vibes there. First off, guys, do you want to tell us a little bit about how Storm the Crown started and kind of a little bit of what you were doing kind of before the band? Because this isn't your first band, although you did drop the debut EP last year for the Valleys. You were doing stuff before. So tell us a little bit about your past life and then leading into it.
Yeah, so a few of us have been in like bands before and done really well. But this whole thing started probably about six, seven years ago. So I work with our drummer, Adam, at a tattoo shop. I'd been hassling him for a long time saying, let's get together and just play some music, have some fun. So we did. I roped Shane in and was like, hey, dude, do you want to play bass? I'm going to play guitar. Adam's going to drum. It might be nothing. It might be something. Let's see what happens. So we started that, and then we roped another friend in, started a band, and we started jamming for about 3.5-4 years. Wrote some songs, very much a social thing though, just getting together with a few mates, you know, every other weekend, playing some music. That all kind of COVID hit, and that kind of all fell apart, and none of us seemed to have been able to find the time. Adam, our drummer, started jamming with a few other friends, doing some covers and just mucking about, playing some music. That kind of fell apart on him. And then Adam and I were talking at work one day, and he just kind of went, hey, do you want to, you know, we'll Voltron it, combine our forces and see what happens. So we did. Pulled Sean, the guitarist that he was jamming with in. We all got together. Shane, Sean and I sat down, wrote some songs, sent them off to Adam to learn. He learned them, got another guitarist in, and the rest is history. You know, here we are now. You know, we've been gigging now for about nine to 10 months.
Yeah, April last year was our first one.
Yeah, yeah, going really, really well. New material is just sounding huge. You know, we couldn't be happier. Everything just seems to be going really, really well.
Fantastic. That's awesome. Where'd you come up with the name? I love it.
It's the guitarist, Sean. It's a name he had kicking around in his head for a while, and we were like, hey, anyone got any ideas for names? That was one of the first things he threw at us, and I was just like, that's awesome, and it stuck.
It's metal as hell. I love it.
Yeah. So no idea where it came from for him, but yeah, he just threw it out one day at band practice and was like, this has been kicking around in my head for a while, and we loved it.
Yeah, well, do kind of have that vibe as well, you know what I mean? Like fucking that uplifting, positive vibe, but also that let's fucking charge at it, you know what I mean? Like Storm the Crown kind of encapsulates a bit of the feel of the band as well. Tell us a little bit about dropping that first EP. What was it like making that one as well? Because I think you made that with Andy at Against the Grain Studios as well, yeah?
We did. So Andy is fantastic to work with. We went into it. We did our homework going into it. We wanted to try and make it as smooth as possible. We had the songs written, ready to go. Just smashed it out, went in, did 4 days with Andy. Originally, we were going to do 5, but we just got through it really quickly. Everything just fell into place. Like I said, we did our homework beforehand, made sure we were, you know, 150% going into it, knowing exactly what we wanted, how we wanted it to sound, the direction we were going with it.
So what changed for you guys? When did it start? Like, when did the motivation change and, you know, really start pushing in that, fuck, we've got to make a real push at this and kind of get serious about, you know, Storm the Crown and kind of pushing it out as well, because you're all playing together off and on over the last how many years, and then it kind of seems you've gone into let's make a run at this.
Yeah, well, look, the moment these songs came together, even initially, we knew we had something that was special. You know, super melodic, super catchy. You know, things like solos that you can sing along to and riffs that you can sing along to. You know, I love that stuff. Being able to go see a band play and sing along to your favorite parts. And we had all that stuff was all falling into place. So it was just that natural progression. You know, a few of us had been in bands that had done extremely well before. And it was just that we've got something here. Let's run with it. You know, it's been huge response from fans and just from the general public as well, which has really spurred us on. You know, initially you get that friends and family pushing you, but we've been getting, you know, seeing 16-year-old kids hitting us up like, we want to do what you're doing. You guys are amazing. And having people come and get our logo tattooed on them. And
I was going to mention that, cool. Dude. That's pretty cool. I've seen a couple now.
We've had two now.
Two now. That was it, man. What's it like? I mean, people coming in and getting the band tattooed. I've got a few band tattoos myself, so I understand it. But what was it like for you guys? And then Adam,
The first one was absolutely mental. I actually went into the shop. So Adam and I work at a tattoo shop. He's a tattooist. I'm a body piercer. And I walked into the shop on my day off just to say g'day to the guys as I was walking past. And as I'm leaving, a guy walks in that I'd recognized from shows and I'd met a few times. So I said, hello, how you going, mate? You know, what are you up to? I just come in to book a tattoo. Oh, cool, man. Anyway, I'm on my way. I'll catch you guys later. See everybody. And then as I opened the door, he said, I'd like to get the Storm the Crown logo tattooed on me. And I just stopped in my place. I was like, are you kidding me? Dude, what did I hear that right? Like, this can't. Yeah. What is going on? And then Adam being one of the tattooists there, I just looked at the girl at the counter and was like, please make sure Adam does this one. I'd love to see that happen. Yeah. Was lucky enough to be there the day it went down. So I got some video and, you know, we've posted that on all our socials. And then the moment that one landed and people saw it, another friend of ours that Adam's been tattooing for years was just like, I'm coming in a couple of days for a tattoo. Can I get that as well? Yeah, of course you can.
The pure elation on Chris's face as he walked out of that tattoo shop when he found out. He sent us all a video message and it was just, you'd never believe this, guys. What the fuck? Someone's coming in to get a tattoo. And we've all just gone, wow. I mean, I've got band tattoos all over me as well, like 30-year-old bands, yeah. But nothing like this. It's surreal. It's weird, very weird.
I'm sure that's surreal, like, you know, because now, you know, you get like, you know, AC/DC or Van Halen or whoever, and then that's pretty cool to have like,
yeah,
your baby, yeah, on somebody like that. That's pretty surreal.
I'd put the challenge out there for someone to get my face tattooed on them, but nobody wants that.
The old Steve-O style from Jackass.
Don't make me do it. I've got dumber tattoos, man.
So tell us a little bit about kind of, Shane, I want to bring you in. Tell us a little bit about your bass, dude. Tell us a little bit about kind of how you all started in heavy metal, man. Tell us a little bit about your journey, how you got into bass, kind of what led you up to where you are today, dude.
Look, I never started off on an instrument. I played guitar in school, as people do. I just did. I was actually singing for a band like nearly 20 years ago. Didn't go anywhere. I just wasn't great at it. Put it plain and simple. I mean, I can sing, but I'm not brilliant. Essentially, I ran into Chris after not seeing him for maybe 15 years. We just happened to now live in the same area. And I recognize him from Paradise Burning days, which was one of the bands I used to go see. Every time they played, I saw him. And we just got talking. And a few months later, it was like, oh, do you know how to play bass? And I went, I suppose I can. It can't be too hard. So off I went and got a $50 Aria Pro Banger. And it went from there. And I've always loved that instrument. I mean, I'm a big Trevor Dunn fan from Mr. Bungle. It's always been in the background. Like I've always been musically orientated. Like every single weekend back in the day, I was going to bands. So I suppose it was a general, like it was going to happen eventually. I was going to pick up something and play it. It just happened to be Chris that asked me to, and now here we are, like, what, 6 years later, I'm doing it more and more, and I'm learning heaps of new stuff. It's good to surround myself with the musicians I have as well. Like Alex and Betty both have determination and drive to do this sort of stuff. Adam is just an animal. Our drummer is just amazing. Just his work ethic, all of their work ethics are amazing. So I feel like the sort of third wheel when it comes to this sort of stuff. So I'm coming into it late. Everyone else has been playing for years. It's fun. It's a good time. Like I really don't have the words to explain it properly, but yeah, I'm just enjoying the ride. 100% enjoying the ride.
Oh, a big shout out to Adam as well. I did get to catch you guys down here when you come to Renmark as well, and you've put on an amazing show. Like it's, you can just kind of tell with some bands the way you held the audience. It wasn't a huge audience, but it was good for the regional area, which you guys understand. You're from regional areas as well, you know, sometimes what a challenge it is, but she's put on this amazing show, and I could just tell you guys had been around the traps before, played shows, and the amount of energy and I know charisma you kind of oozed playing that, it kind of really caught my attention, because I've seen it kind of, I was talking about Airborne the other day, like I've seen them playing these small right. pubs before they made it big as well, and they would always put in this effort and this energy with each show they go to, and I've kind of watching you guys, and I kind of felt the same comparisons to a definitely a different sound, but kind of the energy, and it's important for people to see that. Tell us a little bit about that side of things.
I just want to say one thing about Chris. Chris is Mr. Charisma, man. Yeah. As soon as that dude walks on stage, this person comes out, and he's just an amazing front man. To have him standing up front and giving that performance that he does is just phenomenal. I pretty much liken him to what Alice Cooper's like. Completely different person off stage than he is on. Like it just, as soon as that foot gets on there, it just changes and he just completely opens it up. It's brilliant to watch. Like from my angle, I've seen video footage, but yeah, I think that's where that drive and determination that you guys see and that different perspective would come from, like the raw energy that dude brings to it. He's just, phenomenal to have in front.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, see, I've been blessed with a nickname very, very long time ago, 20 plus years ago, Killer Kowalski. Now, the Kowalski part never stuck, but the killer part did. And yeah, I turn into a madman when I walk on stage. I don't know what it is. There's something else comes out of me. I just turn into a bit of that. Yeah, I'm a bit of an angry person on stage sometimes, and I'm definitely not an angry person. I'm the, you know, I'm the teddy bear of the band. I'm the
100%. My daughter absolutely adores Uncle Chris. He is the biggest teddy bear in the world. Sorry to say this in front of all these people that are watching it.
Quite true, though. Yeah, I'm a big softie.
100%.
Wasn't you guys had your kids there at the show as well with the headphones on? One of you guys?
My daughter was there.
That was unreal, dude. That was so cool to see as a father, man. I was like, man, I should have brought my little girl. And it's like, she would have fucking loved it, dude. It's good to see that when parents do that. Because I'm not a drinker. I'm not like I used to be, but I still love going to shows. And now as a parent, it's for me, it's really heartwarming to see, you know, parents bring their kids along to shows. Because as you touched on, like, you got that nickname, Chris, but 99% of the people in the metal scene were just big, soft fucking teddies. Like, I met some long-lost family, like a long-lost second cousin, and he was like, you're not what I expected when I met him. And I'm like, you know, because we're just soft, open people, and it's really good to be in this community and see that. Like when I chatted with you guys, you were the same. It's totally open, and it's really good to be a part of the SA metal scene because the scene in general, unless you're these big bands, you guys are playing on stage and you're over on the merch stand chatting to people as well, and you bring your families along, and you're huge supporters of the shows in general as well.
Look, it's a big thing for me is family. Like the band is family. I make sure every band practice I put on a barbecue for all the boys. We have a meal together. We, you know, spend time together, not just playing music, but hanging out and, you know, being brothers. And then that extends to everything else. you know, especially seeing young people at shows, that's a huge thing for me. They're the next generation of kids that are coming to shows and encouraging these young people, you know, from like, especially these 16, 17 year olds. These are the kids that are about to hit, you know, being able to go to the pub and being able to go see bands play. And they're the kids that will do it every weekend and support bands and buy tickets. And, you know, seeing these young guys at shows is everything to me. I remember being one of those kids and getting love from the bands that I loved. And being able to do that now and see these kids have a good time and, you know, wanting to sing along, wanting to grab the mic, wanting to jump around and throw fists. And then at the same time, looking after each other and making sure everyone around them's having a good time as well. You know, it's awesome. And it's a huge family vibe. And I love that.
That's a go leading by example. We set the standard as well at these shows, man. Watching these young fellas rock right out, I love seeing it, like especially at some of these shows like Heavy SA and Metal United Down Under's coming. I've been to quite a lot of them, dude. And as you said, these young 15, 16-year-olds are in there tearing it up harder than anyone. And I don't have the stamina anymore. So I'm like, I'm so glad you guys are here and I can kind of hang at the back and watch a little.
I'm so glad they're there as well. I don't want to jump around like that when I'm watching a band. I'm way too old for that now.
Oh, yeah, my back and everything bloody hurts as well. Can we go through, guys, some of the bands, artists, people that have kind of influenced and inspired you both as musicians?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a pop punk kid. I grew up listening to pop punk. I still, you know, Blink 182, all that stuff are my go-tos. But on the heavier side of things, Slaughter, for this band in particular, like Alex the Terrible from Slaughter to Prevail has been a huge influence on me, with more his vocal techniques than his delivery. I'm fascinated by the way he can make these different sounds. You know, same with Will from Lorna Shore. Just how do you make these sounds? How do you do that?
Oh, yeah.
And it's constantly pushing me and driving me to try different things and you know, change what I'm doing to see if I can do something different. A big thing for me as well, as I grew up in, I came up as a young kid doing a lot of theatre with my parents, and pronunciation and melody and those things are really, really important to me as well. So I don't just want to be super heavy for the sake of being heavy. Like, that's one thing, but being able to be clear and still understood and be able to sing along and have melody there as well. You know, there's, you can be brutal for the sake of being brutal, but, you know, I want to sing along. I want to have a good time. I want to bop my head, you know. Sometimes it's cool to see a band and you're like, wow, that was the most brutal thing I've ever seen. But a lot of the time I want to sing along. I want to go home and get in the car and go, I want to listen to that melody again. I want to sing along to that chorus again. You know, so for me, that's really important.
That's brilliant. Because I was going to say, because like your diction, listening to Neon that just came? Is that your newest single, correct? Your diction, you remind me of one of the bands I love is Gojira. Joe Duplantier is so heavy, but it's like, wow, I can understand what he's saying.
And that's really important to me. You know, there's some points in songs where being super, super heavy and brutal is needed, but for the most part, especially with a lot of my lyrics, you know, I'm trying to convey a message sometimes, or I'm speaking about something that's really personal to me. So I want that message to be conveyed. I want people to know what I'm saying.
Yeah, speaking of Neon, guys, film clip you must be pretty impressed with. A couple of weeks, and it's like, what's it, 51,000 views?
51,000, I believe. Yeah.
2 weeks. It was awesome. I was chatting to Shane at the time. He was messaging me. He's like, fuck, it's this much already? I was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
We spent the few days after that came out just with constant streams of messages to each other, like, wow, it's at 4K. What's going on? This is crazy. Wow, it's at this many. I remember I woke up the morning after it came out and looked at it and went, we've had 400 views overnight. This is amazing. I can't believe we're at 400 views. Wow, this has just blown me away. By later on that afternoon, it had hit 12,000 and just skyrocketed and kept going. So, yeah, thank you, algorithm. Thank you, YouTube algorithms, and, you know, crazy people all over the world that listen to it. We can't fathom it. There's no words for it. Like, it's completely and utterly unexpected.
The lack of sleep, real. Wake up at 5 in the morning looking at the number going, what are we at today? It's like, ridiculous. Like, we didn't, definitely did not expect that at all. We're sitting there going, oh, we'll get a couple of thousand views, hopefully. Yeah, nah, that didn't happen. It blew us away completely.
It's really great to see, because YouTube kind of has some great film clips. But one thing I do want to put up, and you were talking of Alice Cooper, you mentioned him. We just interviewed Calico Cooper of Bisto Blanco, Alice's daughter, with Chuck Garrick. Was the last interview me and Jim done together. But we'd actually mentioned this about getting so many thousands of views. People, we love that you've watched it, but hit the subscribe. Just that one little inexpensive thing can help a band. It costs nothing at all to hit that like and subscribe. So if you're still still watching this right now, hit the like and subscribe here, then head over to Storm the Crown and fucking like all their videos.
Hit that notification bell as well, guys. Yeah, notification bell.
It all helps. You know what I mean? Yeah. Little things like that. Like, it's 51,000 views. If half years hit the subs, we would have loved you twice as much.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Like, even the comments, I made sure we responded to everyone's comment as well.
Yeah,
we have to. No matter how big this gets, no matter where this goes, we don't know where it'll go. Who knows?
Yep.
Still want to be that person that will respond to anybody who wants to have a chat. And that's just one thing I will always do. It's about being humble, not a big-headed prick. Literally, I don't care who it is. I don't care where we go. I'm still going to have a chat. And I'm still going to respond to questions or respond to comments on things. That's probably just more me, I suppose.
We're 100%. We're that band that will sit on the edge of the stage after a gig and hang out and meet you and want to, you know,
answer your questions.
That's the way.
Yeah, I've seen it. I actually went up and had a chat to you guys. These were all really open. Had a really good chat to Adam. He's a fellow survivor as well. I'm in remission at the moment, so a big shout out to him as well, dude. So, yeah, you guys are unreal. It's a tough slog being in the local scene as well. So when you were saying, Chris, it's like a family, it really has to have that bond and connection and do it for the love of it first before you can actually, you know, get your music out there, before you can even think of going that next step up, because it's such a fucking tough slog at the moment. You're playing shows, you're basically giving away albums and music for nothing and then hoping people come back on the other end. And, you know, you're almost like buying merch and supporting your shows as well seems to be a really, really big part of what is happening today as well.
Especially with you. The influx of international bands coming over here at the moment, the smaller bands don't get as big of attention, which sucks. I mean, it is what it is. But there's also so many good bands coming out of Australia right now. It is ridiculous. Totally. It's like COVID killed everything off, and then once that opened up, it was on for young and old, essentially. So it brought a lot of stuff out of the woodwork, which. We're in the middle of it, so we know what's at stake. We know what we have to do to get our name out there, and we're just giving it a red hot go.
It goes for everywhere in the world. People don't forget about the local shows. You know, go see those big bands coming. But it's like the band you're playing, the Wrath of the Ronin show this week, which is the Ascended, which are fucking unreal. I heard them on that first album and I was just blown away. Those guys have that melodic death sound, and I'm a massive Trivium fan, and I was drawing huge, huge comparisons. I got actually a big Trivium tattoo on the inner of my arm here. And I was drawing huge comparisons on that first album to him and Matt's voice and the sound. I was blown away. So that's a great show. And then you got yourselves and Headbore, which is another equally great Australian band too. So, you know,
we've got to play with Headbore for a while as well. So it just fell into our lap. Literally Matt heard about us from Heavy SA. And literally the next day after Heavy SA, he messaged us and said, you guys want to jump on board this? And I've gone, just a little bit. Cheers. Thank you. Right. Like it was just a weird thing. Like, because normally your promoters reach out, but someone who actually is in the band reached out to us instead and said, we dug what you did at Heavy SA, jump on board this. And then we found out later on it was Headbore as well. and we've been wanting to get on board with them for a while. We haven't had the chance to, and this just came together really well.
Yeah, that's going to be a ripper show. I've caught Head Bore a whole heap of times as well. And you mentioned Heavy SA. How good is that show and what Northy does putting on that show every year? And that's kind of one of the reasons. It was like one of the things that I fell back in love with the Aussie metal scene, going to those Heavy SAs and the New Dead Metal Fest back then and just be blown away with the amount of fucking talent we have. I was just started doing radio. They're like, what do you want to be called? I'm like, Jai, that Aussie metal guy. And I started doing Australian Made Show, which was all Aussie fucking metal, which I've come back to doing again once a week on Cranium Radio. And it was always such a blast for me to go to these shows like Heavy SA, New Dead Metal Fest, and then fucking see the quality and the talent of music we have over here in Australia. And then Jim, he's over there in the US, so he'll be, he sees some of those bands as well, and he's messaging me, man, how about this, how about this, you know?
Yeah. I was lucky enough to be, you know, part of that whole scene when it first started here in Adelaide with Truth Corroded, Double Dragon, my band Closed Casket, so many awesome bands, and huge, huge, huge shows. And the scene was just massive at the time. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You had Double Dragon. Well, jump on from Double Dragon, didn't you, with you for the track there at Heavy SA?
Lee's a really good mate of mine. So I reached out to him and said, hey, mate, look, we'd love for you to come along and jump up. And he was stoked. He hadn't been on stage for, I think he said, 10 years.
Yep.
And just jumped at the opportunity. You know, it's worth reaching out to your mates that you're,
I remember seeing them at Soundwave. I think it was Soundwave they played many, many fucking year ago, and I was with a heap of mates. They ended up getting on the piss with him and the band back at fucking the old Enigma Bar. It's closed now.
Yeah.
I piked out because I was an old cunt even back then. But
might have been Big Day Out, maybe.
Yeah, it could have been, dude. It was fucking so long ago. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was probably Big Day Out, dude. That was forever ago, man. But they put on a ripping performance then.
A great show.
Yeah,
and I was there as well, man.
Yeah, and I think I caught them when they did. Didn't they come back for New Dead or recently or Heavy SA a few years ago and do a one-off performance?
They
haven't
played with New Dead a few years.
New Dead, that was
2000. Wasn't that 2010 or 2011? It's still been a while, but
time flies. It only feels like yesterday to me.
Yeah. Having that him on stage with Killer was brutal. Like having them two scream off at each other was, something to hear.
And look, I hadn't been on stage with Lee for 15 years, so that was just fantastic being able to do that again with him.
Yeah, no, it's important to get along and support these shows as well. So seeing how Neon's gone and then, you know, everyone kind of getting into that, that guy's kind of motivated you for some new material. I think I use a
big time. We're,
something. Oh, yeah.
We're actually in the studio. I think it's in about 8 weeks' time.
Yeah, mid-May we're back in.
Yeah. Yeah, so hoping for 6 songs. Wow. We've got the songs written. Yeah, we're playing most of them live already. So
I was going to say, are you trying them out now? Or okay,
there's
got one song that we haven't played live, but I think we're going to save that and drop it as a single and play it live for the first time after the single drops.
Oh, that's cool! Very cool.
Yeah, but just do it really big. It's a fantastic song. It's one of those songs that's just stood out to us, and I'd need to finish writing the lyrics for, but. that's another story. But yeah, no, it's awesome. Hopefully 6 more songs. I don't think we're going to release them all in one big drop. I think we'll probably drop them one at a time or one or two at a time. You know, spend a few months just dropping stuff. It's going to keep people interested, keep people engaged, keep people wanting more.
Yeah, of course, you'll see another film clip coming too. Or two.
Hopefully a few more
film clips. Yeah, well, that went really well. Like, and that's the thing. I think you guys are self-managed as well. When you're releasing kind of music, you really got to think about how you do it. Now, back when I was growing up, your band would drop one single, maybe two, then fucking you go buy the album and then listen to everything on an album. Now it's like drop single, but you kind of got to create that interaction with people, get them listening. Then the videos as well kind of have it as a multi-prong attack, isn't it? Like with everything.
The Neon film clip was, we released, technically we released Neon last year, June. And having waited that period of time between when we did that and the film clip, we had a lot of things to think about. We had an opportunity to work with Brad Gilbertson, and we literally jumped at it. Like, he did the film clip for us, and I don't think we could have asked for a better outcome. If we did that 8 months ago, it definitely wouldn't have been the same thing. So, I mean, I think we were better off waiting for that. But yeah, it's a weird thing watching it back now, going, crap, we did this. We've been seen everywhere. Like, we've had people from Russia, Greece, which was really weird. I've just had like messages from Greece going, this is your film clip, blah, 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 and they're tagging us and stuff. The US, we've got a guy, Doc Rock, I think it is, he's been messaging us heaps. He's been spruiking us quite a bit. It's just an overwhelming, essentially, overwhelming like from everybody around the world so far. We just got to now bring that to Adelaide, and yeah, hopefully we can get the same response in our hometown, which is harder to break into than anything, I suppose.
It is. I've noticed that as well. Like, a lot of people, I've talked about some of these bands we have here in Australia, and I've talked to some Aussies, and they don't realise the quality of the talent and the bands, or they're more likely to go spend money on bands overseas, which is great to do. But also, we have such a killer live scene in Australia, like an amazing Australian scene. Like, Adelaide has a fucking... I'm kind of SA because I know this scene pretty well. We have an amazing fucking scene here. You know, I know Brisbane does, New South Wales, Victoria, Tassie, Perth are doing some amazing things because they're over there. And Northern Territory, even, people complain about people, bands not coming to their states. Try being Northern Territory and Perth. They've created a vibrant heavy metal scene on their own, same as Tassie.
I lived in Darwin for a while, and the scene there was fantastic.
Yeah, dude.
And all local bands. I was blown away by it.
Yeah, and that's what you kind of fucking people need to do, get along and kind of support these seeds. And I want to mention also that clip with Neon, 51,000 views. I noticed the Kings of Rock Run DMC cover, dude. You done sitting in that bloody room there. I was watching it looking at all your pop finals. That's 11,000 views on that already, dude. 11 days as well.
I'm actually working on another one right now, so...
That kind of thing's pretty cool. How important is that? I think that's pretty important, being able to... that's one thing I can't even fucking get my ass around doing, reels and short videos, which I need to do. But doing those cover videos, and that is really also another way to add people onto your band and check that out as well,
Definitely. But I mean, I love watching those videos. I will sit on YouTube and watch these guys do these cover videos with extreme vocals, and I love it. And so that's what spurred me on. So actually the one I'm working on at the moment, I'm not going to say what it is because I'm hoping I'll drop it hopefully in the next couple of days. But it was literally something I sing in the shower and was having a bad day yesterday and just went, you know what? I need something to fill my time in. Let's record that song. It could be horrible. It could be bad. Just do it. And that's the mentality I've had with that stuff. You know, it's a just do it sort of attitude. You need to, if you don't do it, you never know. If you don't put it out there, you don't ask the question, you never know. You put it out there and people don't like it, oh, well, you put the next one out, they might like it. I'm having fun. That's all that matters to me.
No, everyone has to like the stuff you do. But
it's a quote, Randy Blythe. I make music for five people.
Yep.
And then the five people that are in the band with me. So I'm stoked that people love it and people are liking it, but... Yeah, it's I do it for myself because I love it.
Exactly. That's awesome.
Yeah, then everything will grow from there, guys. We got the show coming up this weekend with The Ascended. It is The Wrath of the Ronin. Does feature yourself and Head Bore at the Cranker, the Crown and Anchor for you people that aren't in Adelaide or South Australia. Get along to that one as well.
The Cranker, I like it.
Support your local scene wherever you are in the world. Get along. Don't forget the locals. Go grab Storm the Crown. If you're like me, you can go buy the fucking album, Bandcamp, or hit up the band. I'm sure they've got a whole ton of merch as well.
100%.
Get over to YouTube, hit that like and subscribe. Jim, do you have anything to add in before last word, shout outs?
I should have run this past you. I was hoping I could do this at the end. I have a short quiz if you guys have time.
Yes, let's go. Let's do it.
Go ahead,
This is of my own design, good. And I've been doing it for a while. It is IKEA product or Norwegian black metal band.
Let's go.
Okay. Okay, ready? Okay, here we go. Malm. M-A-L-M. Malm.
That's IKEA.
That's an IKEA product.
That is an IKEA product. It is a two-drawer chest.
I think I have one in my house somewhere.
I think it's right behind you, actually. It looked very close. That's pretty cool. Okay, here we go. Ready? Okay. Ulver.
That's a death metal band.
1,000%.
Fuck 1,000%. Yeah.
This is good. I'm glad I brought this back. Okay, ready? Here we go. One more, and we'll end this. Okay, I gotta make it good. Ah, here we go. Hogsvar.
That is definitely IKEA.
Yeah,
it is. That is a wow. You guys know your IKEA product really well.
Yeah, we know our IKEA and we know our heavy metal.
We know our death metal.
Yes, that's it.
You got to remember the biggest furniture place in Adelaide for a long time was IKEA. So I mean,
yeah, dude, a lot of us.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know.
Yeah, bro.
That. Okay. Well,
I'm still claiming it's just death metal.
Awesome,
but
guys.
I'm definitely gonna. I need to bring that back, though.
We will start bringing that back. This has been an absolute pleasure, guys. Do you have any last words, shout outs, thank yous, or anything else you'd like to plug? Chuck in there now, my friends.
Don't want to plug anything, but just, yeah, thank you to the people who viewed our video and like our shit. That's,
yeah, and all the guys coming to the show. You guys. Just the fans. We love you guys.
You guys are great.
Yeah, absolute pleasure, guys. Everybody grab some Storm the Crown, chuck it in the stereos, crank it up really bloody loud. The neighbors are going to want to hear it as well. Cheers for tuning in, guys.
Cheers, Jai. Cheers, Jim.
Cheers, guys.